So
you got to do the coin toss like the NFL, man. You got to explain like what symbols are on heads and what symbols are on tails.
Like, I've decided I go first.
if it's Apostle Islands, LSP will go first. I don't know why. Apostle Islands is
okay
there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Debaterios podcast. I am one of your hosts, Justin. I'm here with my other amazing co-host, Oreo. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
And you might, notice there's a little bit of a different setup this time. So we are the Debaterios, so we're going to debate with some bros here. So I have two people lined up in front of me. We have the one of my best friends on the internet, who is famously camera shy. We have LSP, Liberal Sanity Project. How you doing, man?
I'm okay.
You're okay? Awesome. And we have a newcomer to the show. We have Mr. Sutherland. How are you doing, man?
Hi. I'm doing pretty good.
All right, so if you guys want to introduce yourselves, feel free. LSP, you can go first.
I am Giovanni Amendola. I existed in the 20s. I don't know what to say. I make YouTube videos. You know
why. He makes some really cool YouTube videos.
Why does that sound so familiar?
Giovanni Amendola?
I know I've heard that somewhere, and I can't place why.
We're starting off with some deception here. It's going to be really
He was an Italian anti-fascist from the 20s, the first true anti-fascist who wrote newsletters opposing fascist violence, and then the fascists beat him to death. It's a happy story, but it's really cool because they kept beating the shit out of him, and he kept writing the newsletters anyway. So it was always like a good fuck you. It's like, I'm not going to stop writing. So I always like that. That's
Amendola.
All right.
Okay, and so I guess I go next then.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. My name is Dan or Daniel, whichever one. I go by Mr. Sutherland because there are a lot of Mr. Sutherlands in my family, and just kind of became a joke. I like to talk about guns. I like them. They're cool. There's interesting stuff about them. And yeah, I also talk about movies on another channel. So.
Nice. All right. And that brings us to our topic for today. So I have these two lovely gentlemen who have agreed to be a part of our very first debate that we're hosting and moderating on the podcast. I'm really excited to bring this to you guys. The topic today is reducing gun violence. Do we increase or decrease gun control? That is the very clumsily worded topic of today's debate that I'm sure has already confused and upset both of the people who agreed to be on today. All right, guys. So the way this is going to work, it is going to be a formal debate setup or semi-formal debate setup. So I'm going to flip a coin that none of you actually listening to the podcast on Anchor or Spotify can actually see. But I promise this is a real coin. For those of you who are watching on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a legitimate coin.
It has been confirmed. These are not like Confederates. So I will flip this coin, and whoever wins the coin toss is going to open up with a 5-minute opening statement. And then, of course, the other one will go, and then we'll go in that order for the rebuttals as well. And then after that, it is free discussion. Internet blood sports. We're bringing it back, y'all. Me and Oreo are going to be here in the background to ask questions, keep things civil, and make sure things flow at a wonderful rate that doesn't peek anybody's headphones out or upset anyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And with any further ado, Oreo, will you call it for Mr. Sutherland starting? Heads or tails?
Boy. Okay.
Tails
is killing me. Just pick it.
Tails for Mr. Sutherland.
I said tails, but Discord was lagging.
All right, so it is heads. So, Liberal Sanity Product, LSP, please deliver your 5-minute opening statement.
Right, that might be an issue. Because I didn't really prepare a statement, so I'm probably not going to need the full 5 minutes, but... So what I'm writing is I think I know your arguments anyway, Mr. Sutherland.
Okay.
What Sutherland's going to say, he's going to say something along the lines of that firearms keep us safe because an armed society is a polite society. He'll say that banning firearms or certain kinds of gun control are unconstitutional. He'll say the Second Amendment is a deterrence to a tyrannical government or something to that effect. I simply rebut that. And if an armed society were a polite society, we would be the most polite society in the world. but we're not. If banning firearms were constitutional, Mr. Sutherland would have to explain why numerous courts have found that certain gun bans are completely constitutional. My position is simply that the Second Amendment is not a blank check on every kind of weapon in the world. Some gun control measures make sense. Some might be unnecessary. You know, that's what it is. But ideally, what you want to do is you want to balance the freedom of the individual with the safety of the collective. Completely unrestrictive access to firearms is an impediment to safety. And a blanket ban on every gun ever manufactured is an impediment to freedom. All I advocate for is a moderate solution. We should save as many lives as we could without unnecessarily impeding on the safety of others, or the freedom of others. That's my position. For every one self-defense gun use, there are 4 accidental shootings, there are 7 homicides with a gun, and there are 11 suicides with a gun. So guns, unfortunately, are mostly being used in crime. A meta-analysis from Harvard Injury Control Center, which was authored by David Hemingway, found a very basic and obvious truth, which is that the more guns you have, the more gun violence you have. Seems pretty obvious. All I favor is a solution that puts our firearm homicide rate on par with other developed first world nations. And that's all I got because I forgot.
No, that was no good job. Good opening.
That was
statement.
Good. That was good.
All right. I
wrote it like a minute.
It had some bite.
All right, Mr. Sutherland.
Remember, you'll be able to rebut to that afterwards. But for now, just deliver your opening statements, and whenever you're ready.
All right, then. Opening statements. I hope this doesn't sound too wordy and just purple prose, because I'm first time doing a debate at all and having an opening statement. God damn it, why was he right? He's... give me a second. Okay. Let me just... I almost don't want to read it now, just because he was kind of on the money with it.
Sorry.
Hey, no, you're good. When we discuss the issue of guns, the access to them, and eventually the importance or perceived lack thereof of the Second Amendment, what we're discussing is not a simple black and white of I like guns versus I don't. What we're talking about is the essence of self-defense, autonomy, and ultimately survival of the individual. Because humanity is an imperfect species, capable of doing great things just as easily as committing atrocities on a global scale. It is imperative that the average man and woman be able to defend themselves and keep themselves safe when the moment arises. What then is a better way to make sure that you are able to keep everything from a would-be burglar to a tyrannical stormtrooper at bay than a firearm that matches what they carry? In the United States, this mindset has permeated our culture since our inception, when we were but a few meager colonies just trying to get by as best we can without dying of starvation, disease, or conflict with the natives. And the mindset persisted when the British attacked the colonists at Lexington and Concord in an attempt to confiscate our weapons. And even more so, afterwards, it persisted in Ida B. Wells, who said, "A Winchester rifle should have a place of honor in every black home, and it should be used for protection, which the law refuses to give." The history of America, and much more the world, seems to vindicate the thoughts of the Founding Fathers that concluded that there exists a human right granted only by God and nature and no other entity to self-defense and the weapons that facilitate it. In our culture lies a divide. That between those who understand what the Second Amendment entails and are responsible as well as ready to stand up for the life and liberty that they have, and those who would disarm such people. It is true that evil exists in our world and evil abuse of freedoms that we have, but this is not just a reason to strip ourselves of our rights. We do not blame the blade or the club or the fist for the damage against our fellow man. Why so should we blame the gun? A weapon is but a tool like any other we use, and like other tools, it can be misused. But those instances needn't leave those of us who are innocent disarmed. To quote a tweet that summed it up perfectly, "How many rapes have to happen before you cut off your own dick?" What the hell was that? We must look to conflicts both past and present to remind ourselves of why we can never relinquish this right. From the protests and riots of Hong Kong currently to the disarmament of peoples across the world that led to massacres and genocides, including but not limited to, sorry about Godwin's Law, Holocaust, Cultural Revolution of China, the Killing Fields, or the Wounded Knee Massacre, just to name a few. In all of these events, the preceding event was a confiscation of arms of the people. It should be incredibly telling that so many people, especially in the mainstream Democratic Party, even those select few amongst the Republicans are so ardent in their support for things like red flag gun laws and confiscation orders. The United States has always had access to weapons that could serve on a battlefield. From the Brown Best musket to the lever guns of the Civil War era to the 30-06s of both World War I and II, and now, naturally, to the AR-15 and to AK-47 clones. What we are witnessing is just a continuation of a standing tradition in America, and that being unfettered ownership of weapons to protect our families, friends, communities, and ultimately our country against all who would dare to harm us and also infringe on our rights, just as various politicians are advocating and promising to do when elected. If you believe yourself to be a law-abiding individual, then there is no reason you shouldn't own a rifle and a sidearm to defend yourself in the event danger presents itself and must be met with possible lethal force. To disarm you would be no different than painting a target on your head for the marauders of all types. For when you have no means to defend yourself, you are a subject. But when you are armed, you are more than that. You are a citizen who has a say in their destiny and can pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, just as the founders intended.
Yeah, that was almost 5 minutes on the money.
I was going to say, with the stutters and stuff, I was like, I think I'm getting close.
Dude. All right, LSP, you have your rebuttal, however long you want to take.
It won't be long, because basically your argument came down to that firearms are a tool for self-defense. I don't disagree with the idea that guns are a tool for self-defense, nor do I disagree with the idea that individuals have a right to self-defense. They do.
Okay.
There is, however, reasonable limitations on which tools can be used for self-defense. I think you would be hard-pressed to argue that a Claymore mine or a heat-seeking missile launchers are tools for self-defense. Though they could be used defensively, you'd be hard-pressed to argue that such tools are necessary in the broader context of America's gun violence problem to ensure one's proper defense. I don't think background checks are impediments to self-defense. I don't think a ban on AR-15s are impediments to self-defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think waiting period laws are impediments to self-defense. None of these are limitations on owning a firearm. All they do is ensure that you can reasonably be trusted with a firearm. Few would argue that criminals should simply be able to purchase a firearm for Dick's or Academy Sports and Outdoors. All I do is ensure that the laws that make sure criminals can't do this are enforced. That's all I want.
Is that your rebuttal?
Okay.
Yeah.
Not well under 5 minutes.
All right. Now I get to be freestyling. Sweet.
Technically, it's your 5 minute rebuttal. So just tell me when you're done with your rebuttal, because then we can start like going back and
forth. Yes. Okay. While I won't say that I think things like background checks or waiting periods are inherently anything an infringement on the Second Amendment or generally someone's right to defend themselves, I will say that they're more of kind of a false security blanket, because it's shown time again that background checks, they don't really perceive what's going to happen in the future. And they also, if they're not filled out correctly, as was the case of like the Sutherland Spring shooter, they can also be bad for the past, because all it takes is one person to not punch in a certain kind of information in a database somewhere, and suddenly you have a shooter like that who can still get a hold of a weapon, like an AR-15, for instance. And while I'm not saying anything like we should ban AR-15s or anything like that, because it's in common use, it's a weapon that's not just used for bad stuff. It's used for plenty of things, from sport shooting, hunting, a lot of shooting competitions, as well as being a popular weapon for self-defense. This is why I hate going off the cuff sometimes. Basically, what I'm saying is that a lot of things that sound really good on paper are not always the best thing to be implemented. Like the assault weapons ban of 1994 to 2003, the CDC was even like, no, this didn't do anything. And keep in mind, this is a point where if you could buy an AR-15, it's not going to be the easiest. It's going to have severe limitations. It can only take like a 10-round magazine, stuff like, and ultimately the CDC was like, no, it didn't do anything. It's really, there's no point in continuing further. And when it came time for it to get re-upped or to just let it dissolve and forget about it, everybody was like, guess we just forget about it because it's not doing anything. I mean, Columbine happened in the middle of that ban. So I don't think that banning a certain gun or several guns or anything like that is really going to the problem of reducing gun violence. It might actually facilitate more, honestly. Go ahead and just call it there.
Cool. All right. So you all are ready to go back and forth, ask each other questions, and the floor is open. We'll just try to keep it.
Okay.
We can take this point by point, or I can respond to what you just said. Which would you prefer?
I'm up for either.
Okay, so what you said was you said the background check system don't perceive what will happen in the future. I don't. So right, the NICS right. background check system, the NICS stand for National Criminal Background Check System. Like sorry, is that what NICS stands for? Correct me here. NICS is the instant background check system, right? National Instant Criminal Background Check System.
I'm sure it's something like that. Yeah.
National Instant Criminal Background Check System. Okay, that's what NICS stands for. I knew what it was called. I knew it was called NICS. I just forgot the acronym. So the NICS background check system needs work. Right.
Okay.
Saying it can't predict what happens in the future isn't really an argument. You could, like, aliens could invade in the future. Everybody should be armed. Like, you can make the silliest arguments by saying this.
Okay.
I don't advocate for keeping a system as stagnant as possible, but being, you know, proactive with it, expanding it. And one way you can do that is by closing something called the default proceed loophole, which is this loophole that was utilized by the Charleston shooter to purchase the firearm before the background check had completed. He would have been prevented from purchasing the firearm had the background check completed. Okay. Basically, this loophole is that if the background check doesn't complete in under a certain amount of time, the gun shop is allowed to just go ahead and sell the firearm to the individual. Obviously this has wound up being a workaround so that a lot of people who are criminals who luck by because the background check system doesn't finish can end up purchasing firearms legally through gun dealers. Okay. So I mean, certainly you'd advocate for closing that loophole, right?
Yeah. I'd actually be interested in reading more about that, cause I haven't heard of this, and I've been like, I was trying to find more stuff just to make sure I was actually good with my sources, but that's a new one for me, so I would like to look into that, because if that is in fact a loophole, then yeah, I would like close it, because okay, sweet.
Yeah, you don't have to go through this now. I hope you would assume I'm telling.
No, I'll check it out.
It's just for the future. The next point you made was that the AR-15 is in common use, and this phrasing struck me because I know where that comes from. That's the standard that was established in Miller versus the United States, right?
No, DC versus Heller.
No, it's not from DC versus Heller. DC versus Heller references it, but it comes from Miller. Miller is the 1930s case. It's much older. It's a very old standard, which is a little bit of a problem for DC versus Heller. But in common use is never defined in Miller, and subsequent courts have found that the AR-15 is not a weapon in common use. If you like, I can send you some court opinion on that. But they found the argument has been presented to them that the AR-15 is a weapon in common use, and they found that since it's a weapon possessed by a very vast minority of gun owners, it cannot be common use.
What's your vast minority? Like, what's the size of gun owners as a whole, right? Because I know that a lot of gun owners will go with that whole, like, if the government tries anything, 100 million gun owners will rise up. And I'm like, okay, calm down. I know it's not that many. Jesus Christ, our country is only, like, over 300 million somehow, so there's some math wrong. But I need to...
Give me 1 second, and I'll actually pull up the court opinion for you. I don't have this open. I sent it to Justin, but I should have opened it. Hang on.
No problem.
I can find it for you.
I'm not very... I can send you court opinion, but basically they find that that 7% of weapons more or less have the... 7% of weapons have... I'm sorry, 7 or is it 9? Have 7% of gun owners, or 9%, I can't remember which, possess AR-15s. And by that metric, they didn't want to define it as in common use. It was argued by the plaintiffs that because like 9% of gun owners is like so many million gun owners, that it's actually very common. And it was argued, interestingly, the opposite way by the defendants, which is that even, you know, 9 million gun owners or something like that, so many million gun owners actually comprise a very minority number of gun owners, since there's more guns in this country than there are people. There's actually a lot of guns than lot of AR-15s distributed. Oh, sorry, I found it. Plaintiffs ask us to distinguish machine guns from semi-auto weapons on the ground that the latter are commonly owned for lawful purposes. This is not tracked the way Heller distinguished it in United States versus Miller. The court took from Miller the rule that the Second Amendment does not authorize private possessions of to possess weapons such as machine guns and assault shotguns that the government would not expect or allow citizens to bring with them when the militia is called into service. During Prohibition, the Thompson submachine gun was all too common in Chicago, but that popularity did not give it the constitutional immunity from federal prohibition enacted in 1934. Because it fires multiple rounds with a single pull of a trigger, like an Uzi, it is called a submachine gun, to indicate that it is smaller or more mobile than other machine guns. The AK-47 and AR-15 rifles in military use are also submachine guns. Those civilian versions...
Hold on. We gotta get this one.
You're gonna say the difference is one semi-automatic, one fully automatic. I already know what you're gonna say.
Okay, but no, that's a huge distinction, though. That's a really huge distinction we have to talk about now, because every time, because I like before we even started this, you were saying that the AR-15 is a machine gun. No, it really isn't. Because
hang on. I was fucking with you. Oh, I don't believe the AR-15 literally stands for assault rifle 15. I was fucking with you.
Thank you, God.
That was a joke.
Oh.
I know
way
that.
Way down my shoulder.
I promise you, I don't go this deep into case law without knowing what the case
is. That's where I was like, okay, I was like, I think he's fucking with me, but
I'm fucking with you. Yeah, that was a joke. I don't really believe the AR-15 stands for assault rifle 15. That was a joke.
Okay. Even still, we can't say the AR-15s are in military service, because once they went to military trials and they were like, okay, we're going to need some changes, sure, then we can accept.
Well,
then it became a different thing, basically.
There, you could say they're civilian copies of a military rifle if you want to get down to it.
That, yeah, I was going to say, I could accept that. That makes more sense. Like, the same way I'm trying not to say AK-47, because that's a very specific rifle. And this, okay, yeah. Let me read this.
This is from Justice Easterbrook, which I think is the best indictment on the in common use standard. Relying on how common a weapon is at the time of litigation would be circular. Machine guns are not commonly owned for lawful purposes today because they are illegal, and semi-automatic weapons with large capacity magazines are owned more commonly because, until recently, they have been legal. Yet it would be absurd to say that the reason why a particular gun can be banned is that there is a statute banning it, so that it isn't commonly owned. A law's existence cannot be the source of its own constitutional validity. You're free to read this opinion. It actually comes down on the side, my side, and says that AR-15s are not weapons in common use. They are subject to a scrutiny test, though, and they can be banned.
Okay, I don't see how banning it would help anything, because are we talking about banning it because of its mass shootings?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one thing is the AR-15s are used in mass shootings.
Okay, but they're not used in nearly as many mass shootings as people let on as a thing. When you're talking about what's used in the mass shooting, what usually gets used are things like handguns. Like, your standard Glock 17 has more likelihood of being used in the next shooting than, I don't know, something from Bushmaster or Colt, for instance.
Because the Glock 17 is more common, but the AR-15...
They're about the same amount of commonality, though.
So... the way the courts figure this out is they have to establish something called a rational basis test, which is that the government has to have a rational reason for banning this certain firearm. It has to be in some sort of interest of the government that they can control this. And what the courts found for some of these cases, what the government's interest was in stopping the production or the distribution of AR-15s, is that AR-15s are uniquely deadly. That because of the nature of the rifle, the potential for mass destruction is great. Even though they're not always used in homicides and firearm homicides, even though they are uncommon in that sense, their potential for destruction is actually very great.
Okay. But does that mean even if they've only been used in a few instances, is that still enough to take away a bunch of people's rifles just because, hey, there's been a few bad eggs and we got to make sure that they're all rounded up, even though it's like your average guy who owns one of these isn't thinking to himself, I'm going to go out and kill people. He's like, I'm just going to have this for the range and maybe use it for home defense.
Yeah. I'm not advocating for what Beto O'Rourke advocates for. I don't believe in seizing firearms. When I said that was also a joke.
Megan, okay.
For the audience, I floated this really stupid message to him before we started. I thought it was pretty obviously a joke.
I can never tell sometimes.
I can
man.
Reread
and
it.
I'm at this point where I'm like, if it sounds like probably too on the nose, it probably is intentionally.
Can I read what I wrote?
Yeah, do all it.
Right,
do
all
it.
Right. All right. I'm back. So sorry for the interruption, but my laptop is acting stupid. The internet's acting stupid. Everything's acting stupid.
but I'm on my phone.
Welcome, Oreo.
Yeah.
Can I read what I wrote?
Yeah,
I have it up on screen too. Yeah,
continue. Sorry.
Okay. What I wrote was, you have it on screen?
Mm-hmm.
Where? I can't see it.
On my end.
Okay, basically, I'm a strong believer in feminism, such that I know that weapons are like tools of violence. They're the way that men inflict violence, command, control, especially against women. Guns are like bad, man. We should have like world peace stuff. So I believe in destroying every gun in the world. Put flowers in the barrel. Make love, not war. I said, we should take every gun from people. AR-15s are literally assault rifles. AR stands for assault rifle, and that is meant for warfare. There's no place in civilized society. And most importantly, these guns are used to wage war on impoverished POCs. So my prescription is we should eliminate all guns. I made that as silly as possible.
I can breathe so much easier now. Well, that's the fucking problem, is that you have people who are so silly, but then you're like, haha, they're like, no, really. I'm like, oh, shit.
That was in the Twitter conversation, by the way, so I did not have that pulled up.
Oh, what did you have pulled up?
The
thing I said before.
Discord,
yeah. I think I floated this as a joke, but I guess that's a good diversionary tactic. But I mean, the point is, for AR-15s, I'm all right with banning them, but I'm not all right with seizing them. I think you could grandfather AR-15s already in possession, already in circulation. Like, I don't think that's an issue. I would just ban the manufacturer of. That way, gun stores can unload their stock. That way, they're not unfairly penalized for purchasing AR-15s, you know, and selling them. But I don't like the idea of manufacturing weapons that were originally advertised and marketed as weapons of war.
Things evolve and things change, because obviously the AR-15 was, like, I think we can both agree, it's a civilian copy of a military rifle, which I'm not saying is a bad thing at all, because obviously I'm in support of people owning these things for their own protection of their homes, rights, whatever you want to say. But even if it did start off as a trial rifle for the United States military, for instance, from where we are now, it has evolved into something much greater. Like, there are people who go out and they'll buy an AR-15, right? They'll go to Palmetto State Armory. They'll find a basic, maybe 20-inch barreled rifle kit, buy themselves a lower receiver, and then they'll just train on it. And then over time, they'll be like, either, you know, I want this to maybe be more like a home defense gun, or maybe I want this to be more of a varmint rifle that I can shoot, like, I don't know.
Are you defending yourself from Al-Qaeda? Like, we're talking about a rifle developed for military use.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay. It just doesn't seem realistic to me. But
it doesn't seem realistic, but the point is, that I'm trying to get at is that while – we'll come back to that in a second. The point I'm trying to get at is that the AR-15 is no longer just something that tactical kind of people will buy and be like, yeah, man, I'm like the military. No, we're talking about a rifle that's pedigree spans across the entire spectrum of the shooting world. We're talking about something that – is just as easily good for, or it can be interchanged with so many different cartridges that can be used for hunting deer, for God's sakes. And it can be used for maybe even bigger stuff. I mean, they make 50 cal ARs, and while they're extremely ridiculously expensive, the point is that they're no longer just some random rifle that you only buy because you're about to go in a squad and take on terrorists or something. It is just one of the more utilitarian weapons you can buy right now. It stands alongside a pump shotgun, maybe a lever gun of some kind that you could use for deer, but it is not just a weapon with a singular purpose. It has many different purposes, and that's why you can't just say it's only a military weapon, for instance, because it just isn't anymore. Everybody has different standards.
So I understand the utility of an argument, but I think you undersell what a lot of people buy AR. All right. I don't think you're being honest if you're trying to suggest that a lot of people don't buy it because they fancy themselves as being part of some militia.
Well, no, I'll cop to that for sure. I'll say that there are a lot of people who buy these because they're an excellent rifle to have. I mean, they give you, they're a lightweight package. They give you a reasonable amount of firepower. If you're someone who's maybe not capable of handling the thump of a shotgun, or maybe you're not so good with pistol marksmanship, it's great for that kind of thing. And not only that, but truth be told, what's going to stop you more dead in your tracks if you're somebody breaking into somebody's home? A rifle or just a snub-nosed revolver of some kind? Personally, I opt for having the unfair advantage over whoever tries to break into my shit. But there are definitely people who buy it specifically because they're like, you know what? life and liberty gun. If I have to become part of a militia, that's what that's there for. But I'm not saying that is like, obviously I'm not saying it's a bad thing is all.
No, but to the utility argument that the AR-15 can be used for defense, while true, doesn't really get to the heart of the issue that people have with the AR-15. It was a weapon designed to kill human beings.
Right.
Arguably.
Okay. Hold on. Every weapon is designed to... Sorry, go ahead. I'm being a dick.
Arguably, you could mow your lawn by just taking a pair of scissors and cutting each grass individually. It doesn't have the same utility as a lawnmower because a lawnmower is designed for it. The AR-15 is an efficient human killer because that's what it was designed for. You want to say every gun is designed for that? I would argue not necessarily. There's a difference between weapons designed for assault and weapons designed for defense. I think you see that difference in pistols. I would argue that there's a difference between, I mean, and this is the same thing the 94 assault weapon ban also distinguishes, the difference between regular pistols and assault pistols. They made this distinguishment based on like threaded barrels. They made this distinguishment based on where magazines are loaded or magazine capacities. These are distinguishments that are made all the time because we understand there's a difference between defense and assault. I'm sorry, you can make it right now.
Well, you're right about the thing I was going to say about how, like, a weapon, ultimately any weapon is going to be originally designed with the purpose of, I need to kill this person, but they're very far away, or this rock is, like, too blunt, or something, but...
Wait. Okay, if they're very far away, you cannot be claiming...
What, huh?
If the person you're trying to kill is very far away, you cannot claim that you need this weapon for defense.
Meant more as a joke. But if I'm a strong guy and not like within grabbing distance to throttle them, then they're too far away for my taste, which I want them to be backed off a little bit. But anyway, sorry. Go. Where was I going with that for a second? I was trying to go back on what you said about the assault weapons ban thing about offense and defense. I believe you, could you run that through me again?
Okay. So what you are tried to argue was that the AR-15 is a weapon with some home utility. It can be used as a home defense or self-defense firearm. And I argue that yes, it can be, in much the same way scissors can be used to mow your lawn. But a pair of scissors are not designed to mow your lawn. Lawnmowers are designed to mow your lawn. And AR-15s are not designed for self-defense or home defense. They're designed for assault. They're designed as a weapon of war.
Okay, but it just because wouldn't you argue in a way that a soldier is always kind of firing in self-defense anyway? Because I kind of would, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, obviously you're going out and you got a mission to fulfill. You're probably going to have to shoot at people, but at that point, there's still going to be quite a few points where you're getting shot at and you're like, oh shit, I'm getting shot at. Bang, bang, bang. Self-defense. And just because...
Here's a question. Why don't they send soldiers into war with just pistols?
They used to.
Rifles have been used since like the 15th century. Like, what do you mean?
True, but there are certain people... There was like... I believe it was like World War I where people who were going to clear trenches, for instance, because a bolt action rifle that was just globbed
and all kinds of shotguns and pistols.
Well, yeah, exactly. But still, just because I don't, maybe it's just because we have different mindsets, but I'm trying really hard to see where you're coming from with this utilitarian versus, you know, the scissors versus lawnmower argument, because I'm not seeing it very well. It seems kind of apples and oranges because it doesn't matter.
The argument I'm making is that yes, an AR-15 can be used for self-defense, but it's not designed for for killing other human beings in warfare.
Okay, but what I'm trying to get at is like ultimately, what's going to happen is if someone breaks into my home and I only have like a 22, okay, I'm going to use a 22, but I would rather have something more like an AR-15 because people respect that. People look at that and they think to themselves, I'm fucked. And I don't want to mess with that.
I would think most people wouldn't want to get shot by a 22 either.
That's
I think a
22
is just as deadly. No, I know some of your 15s are even produced in 22, so I don't understand what the point of that is. I don't think anybody wants to be facing down the barrel of a gun, regardless of the kind of gun it is. All I'm saying is AR-15 is apart and aside from most self-defense or home defense gun uses.
Okay, but does that mean that it should be banned just because we've retroactively fitted it to be a self-defense weapon in certain ways, like just the way we configure it?
You made a third point. So to the should it be banned thing, you tried to argue that the assault ban didn't do anything. I'd like to see the study. I hadn't heard of it, but I do know the Congressional Research Service commissioned a study by Charles S. Coper following the assault weapons ban to look into how effective it was. And he found it to be somewhat successful. There's major caveats in this in that Charles Coper said that there's more data needed. This ban wasn't really in effect long enough to tell, but the evidence he did find seems to point in a certain direction. And I think the absence of better evidence does not dissipate the evidence we have. And well, so that's
what was his evidence exactly? Like, what was he going off of in that?
Give me one second. I got to look up this study because I didn't even think I'd need it, okay. So I published it in the thing. I think if you go down to conclusions, you can probably get it. But
is there a specific part you want us to scroll down to?
I would just scroll down to the conclusion, but I think it's bad praxis. It's bad to probably read like studies like on the fly like this. I wasn't expecting to produce it, so I'm kind of hoping you'll just take my word for it and then read it on your own time.
Like, I can do that.
I want the CDC study, but I'm not going to read it right now. I just want to go for it later. I hadn't heard of this.
Right.
But we can go through more studies. I've got a whole cornucopia of them if you want.
I got some stuff here. So we'll probably come back to a few.
I mean, I know what your studies are. You've got Gary Kleck, right? Gary Kleck. Who's your study author? John Lott or Gary Kleck?
John Lott I've heard of, but I don't remember seeing any of his stuff in here.
I would hope I have John Lott.
I was like, I know I've heard of him, but I don't. If I saw him in here, then
he's a fluffer. I wouldn't use him. But
he's
a
what?
A fluffer. He's a complete maniac. But if you want to go over John Lott, I mean, we can. I wouldn't because I think John Lott's a fundamentally dishonest person, and I can tell you why if you like. But if he's not your evidence, I wouldn't.
I don't remember seeing his name in any of the stuff I got. So
sure. What do you got?
Let's see. Let me see. Where the hell is it? How do you know where to begin? Let's see. I have. Hold on. Okay. I thought I could hear my laptop just trying to whir up and like. Because it's like, it's hot. Fucking stop it.
Tell you what, I'll publish what I have in the thing. You can go scroll down and see my studies. And if you have anything you want to talk about on those studies, we can talk about them. They're all the way at the bottom where it says gun culture key facts.
Yeah.
These are the studies I compiled together that I could find that more or less say what the situation is in the United States in particular. You can argue that there may be a selection bias on my part. I would argue that's probably true. I have a certain point of view, and I would likely look for studies that confirm to that point of view. But the studies that counter any of these were primarily from John Lott or Gary Kleck. I haven't found to be particularly dissatisfying, and I don't necessarily disagree with their conclusions either. So, I mean, you can include those too. I included Kleck in some of my work. It's all that. It's all good. Yeah. So whatever you want to do.
Okay. I have. Well, this is one of my, what was it? I'll just kind of drop these in as I go because I was trying to find it. I'm not always the best at this kind of thing, but that's the one I'm looking at right now. It's not really about AR-15s. This is just about the homicide rates in America. Okay. And it's a little like 2 or 3 years old, but it's still interesting to me because it was saying that basically it's just we're at a 50-year low.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, that's cool. And I'm not trying to say correlation equals causation or anything because I was talking about total new guns manufactured in this country. And holy bejesus, it shot up in 2013. Damn.
Yeah, we have a lot of guns and our homicide rate's at a 51-year low. I don't disagree with any of this. But, I mean,
I thought it was important somehow.
So we can have homicides being at a 51-year low and still have a problem with gun violence. Okay, we have a phenomenally higher rate of gun violence in this country than anywhere else does in the world. Sort of like third world nations where that are completely destroyed.
Okay.
I was going to say. Obviously, I'm not counting Somalia. Obviously, I'm not counting Nigeria or Zaire, the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm not counting these places.
Yeah, yeah.
It should go without saying that you have to be a reasonably developed country with some sense of infrastructure and some form of security. Right. If you're one of these countries, these first world countries that have a reasonable amount of development, most of these countries also have low gun violence. And just coincidentally, they also have low rates of gun ownership. Now, we have high gun violence and a high rate of gun ownership. And even though our homicides at a 51-year low, we still beat the rest of the world in terms of gun homicides. Monumental.
Okay. The first place my mind goes to on that is, are we adjusting? Like, are we making sure that, like, population sizes kind of match up and everything? Because
our gun homicide rate in the United States, I'm sorry, our gun death rate in the United States is 12.2 per 100,000. And between 67,000 and 73,500 non-fatal firearm injuries happen every year, which is 23.2 injuries per 100,000 persons. So adjusted for population, we still far surpass every other comparable first world nation.
Interesting. Where was I going to go with that for a second? Because my first thought is just like, are we classifying everything the same? Because I know that a lot of people will say there's always some muddying the waters because they'll lump in suicides or gang violence with that.
Well, we can talk about suicides too. I know a lot of people who are super gung ho on firearms don't like counting suicides, but I do like counting them. Because the firearm is a preferred method of suicide because it's effective. Arguably, if you remove that method of suicide from a lot of people's hands, they'd have to turn to alternative and less lethal methods of suicide, and it could arguably save lives.
Or they could turn to more lethal methods, or just things that you can't really...
Then why wouldn't they just turn to those automatically?
Because the gun's easier?
What's more lethal than shooting yourself in the head? Like, I don't understand.
I would say maybe jumping off a building. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't think it's right to use someone else's mental, their well-being that's clearly not feeling good. If you're thinking about, okay, people who might be suicidal, get help, do something. I don't know what you need to do, but your life is worth living. But I don't feel right about using that to as a way of, like, basically taking guns away from people because...
Oh, I never advocated for taking guns
away. I know, but there are people who have.
Okay, I can't answer for people who have. What I can say, though, is that waiting periods have been shown to measurably reduce the rates of suicide.
Okay.
Would you favor a federal waiting period law?
No.
No, why not?
Because I think it adversely affects people who might be in dire need of to defend themselves.
If people are in dire need of defending themselves, why wouldn't they just go to the police?
Because the police aren't always great. I don't trust cops. Do you?
To a degree, yeah. I mean, I pay them.
Well,
I guess I see it this way. If you are in such a dire need of, if you are in such a situation that your safety is immediately threatened, go to the police.
Okay.
It would be better to go to the police than to just sit at your own home waiting like a paranoid maniac with a gun. Okay.
I'm just more of the mindset. Like, I'm sure there are good cops who would be able to do stuff, whatever it is. Like, let's assume we're talking about some woman who's maybe got an ex-boyfriend that she's got a restraining order against, but guess what? Pieces of paper aren't really great at keeping people away, like, physically. So she's like, I need to get a gun. And in California, at least, you know, we have a 10-day waiting period, unless you're, I would assume, living in some part of the state that probably has a higher waiting period, maybe. I'm not sure if that's actually possible. I know, like, Maryland, just a minor tangent, Maryland apparently has, like, New Jersey, that's what I'm thinking of, has a 30-day wait with, like, a firearms identification license. But the point I'm trying to get at is that it adversely affects people who might, maybe, no one knows when danger's going to come, right? I think we can all agree that...
Well, you're arguing they do. You're arguing that they need a gun now because danger's imminent.
Okay, that's what I'm trying... What I'm trying to say is that there are times where we can see danger, but usually we only see it when it's too late. And sometimes you might have thought, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, can we agree on that? That's fair?
Wait, what?
Did you say that's fair?
Wait, what are we agreeing on? I didn't catch that part.
I'm sorry, I can hear myself again.
Okay. I'm sorry. Did you say sometimes we don't see danger until it's too late?
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. I agree with that. Sure.
Okay. Okay. So if we're assuming that, if we're going off at least that by itself, then we could say, okay, I don't think there's a likelihood that there could be someone who breaks into my house, or maybe they're just crazy and out to get me for some reason, but hey, I need a gun right now. And for some, in some places, like 10 days, probably too long. And especially when we're considering the fact that maybe the gun you, maybe you need, like, I don't know, something for home and something small to carry. Well, at least in California, for instance, there's a 30-day wait. So as soon as you buy one gun, you have to wait a complete month to buy another one, which is another law I think is kind of detrimental, because it seems to me if you're someone who maybe has just enough to buy what you need and then that's it for however long, it would negatively affect you because – and this kind of goes back in – this goes towards like licensing and permit issues for concealed carry holders, because – It's not a fast process. I want to say here it's at least a couple months. And I'm like, no, I'd like to have this on me now. Just for a complete hypothetical, but I know it happens. Does that make sense? I just totally sound like a complete...
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But you're
saying... I was making sure because I was like, oh God, what am I saying?
I understand what you're saying, but you seem to be framing this in the context of California's waiting period, which I think you said was 30 days. I don't necessarily think you need 30 days. I don't know how long... I don't know why their waiting period's so long, but the reason people have waiting periods...
Hold on. Sorry. The standard waiting period in California is 10 days, technically 11 if you count like Sundays, because feds don't work at that time. But I know in parts of the country, it is 30 days. I want to say that.
What do you mean feds don't work?
Or whatever it is, the state law. State officials, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So I wanted to get that ironed out, because I swear in that word salad, I just...
I would imagine it's the gun... the gun dealer that would be complying with the waiting period, not the... state. Like I imagine they would just be waiting,
right,
based on that. But anyway, what I'm saying is you don't necessarily need the most extreme of waiting period laws to save lives. Waiting periods work by reducing or deterring impulsive acts of violence. Basically, you get in a fight or something with somebody and you need to get a gun because you want to go harm them, or you had a bad day, you want to end it, so you want to go get a gun and just end it. These are situations that people encounter all the time that no waiting periods, like, a lack of waiting period laws don't do anything to stop them. But in states that do have waiting period laws, they actually have like a 17% lower rate of homicides than states without them laws, which is roughly 750 gun homicides every year. That's almost 1,000 people saved every year just because they had to wait a little bit longer to get a gun.
Okay.
And arguably, if these laws were expanded on a national level, there could be another 900 gun homicides deterred.
What if I kind of came in the middle somewhere, and I was, because I don't like that whole week and a half wait that we have, and I know other parts of the country do have. What if I was to say, like, we could knock that down to, like, I don't know, let's say 3 days. Would that be kind of a good middle ground? Because I don't know how long most people need to cool down, but I'm like, any weird impulses I have, I'm generally good for, like, after a day. Like, does that sound reasonable in some ways?
That sounds reasonable, but to be truthful, I don't actually know how effective it would be. All I know is that every state has different standards, but the states that do have waiting period laws have lower rates of firearm homicide. I would just trust what the data says. So if like 3 days works, then 3 days works. If 5 days works better, 5 days works better. If 10 days doesn't make any sense at all, then 10 days doesn't make any sense at all. I'm going where the data says go.
Okay.
All right, y'all. Interesting. We're coming up on an hour, so I was thinking that you would, if there's any last things you want to ask each other or any last points you wanted to hammer out, you could do that. And then if me and Oreo have any questions, I definitely have questions. We'll ask just one or two questions each, and then we'll call it there, okay?
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair to me. Who goes first?
No, me the one.
After you, dude. We'll just go. I'm good.
Okay, I am curious, like, because you're not in favor of, like, you want to see them not be made anymore, but you are in favor of at least grandfathering him in is what I got from earlier, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that could change your mind from that mindset? I'm curious because, like, I know people are like, oh, debates. Like, okay, I don't think anybody really thinks that debates are always going to change the mind of the other person.
So right? When you say change my mind, you mean regarding the ban of the AR-15?
Yes. Like, as far as not doing that and not even like grandfathering and just like let them keep being made despite
I actually can't tell you. So I mean, I'm sure you know this, but the reason that we had a constitution was because we didn't have a standing army. I'm sorry, a Second Amendment was because we didn't have a standing army and we wanted state militias to stand in place. You're disagreeing with us. What are you disagreeing with?
Keep going. I do have something about that.
Am I wrong?
I finish your thought.
Okay. So my understanding is the Second Amendment existed. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. That's the prefatory clause. It says well-regulated militia. We got to have this well-regulated militia. Right. So I would argue what Alexander Hamilton argued in one of the Federalist Papers, which is that his ideal militia is one which is voluntary, civilian, and also has mandated training every year. Right.
Okay.
You could argue to me that an AR-15 is a weapon in common use and useful for militia service. I would buy that if you were actually in a militia. I think simply defining the militia as the entirety of the United States is asinine and silly. There's no reason some quadriplegic in a wheelchair is part of the militia. Right. But we're being silly. Not everyone isn't part of the militia. Okay. Right. We understand this.
Of course, there's going to be invalids and people who aren't fit for service. Naturally, I agree with you on that.
Right. So my ideal militia, my ideal AR-15 law is if you want it, you've got to serve for it. You have to check in with your state's National Guard service or your state guard service. Like state of Texas, it's like Texas State Guard or something. But yeah, every state has their own militia.
Okay. So would you say, going from that then, would you say that if you were no longer a part of it, that you wouldn't get to keep the weapon? Like, it's because clearly if you're in it and you have the training and you've gone through it numerous times and you are proficient in it, you're able to handle it.
In much the same way, I would say that once you leave the military, you don't get to take your M16 with you. Once you leave the militia, you shouldn't get to take your AR-15 with you.
Okay. Let's see where it's at. Because from what I found, let me see where it's at. Because I know that right here front. Is Don Cates okay? Because I know I found that in here, and I was like, okay, I'm not sure who he is, but I know he's gone through some shit that I haven't. But let's see. Basically, what he was saying is that the Second Amendment was in because apparently the Founding Fathers were like kind of skeptical of a standing army because they were like, I don't know, that probably could get misused and abused. And look at where we're at in Afghanistan almost 20 years later. It's definitely getting abused.
But Remy, you don't think we're going to have militias that are going to stop us from going to Afghanistan, do you?
I wish we did, honestly, at this point. Just march on Capitol Hill and be like, hey, bring them back.
I don't understand. Okay, so you're going to march on Capitol Hill with your militia and you say, hey, bring them back. And the militia, Capitol Hill says no. Are you going to just shoot them? Like, what do you mean? What's going to happen?
I don't know. I'm just
like, how do you idealize this?
I have no idea.
What a lot of people say we need the Second Amendment for. Like, you want to remove the power of Congress to declare war, right? You want to leave it to state militias. Okay, what does this mean? Does this mean you're enacting a coup against the government?
Okay, well, hold on. Well, mostly was just joking around with that. I wasn't trying to get too deep in thought on that one. Okay. But,
well, I mean, I've read your Twitter. You talk about things like Ruby Ridge, right? Like, you talk about things like Waco. Like, I'm not sure exactly.
I'll go into that because ATF. Okay, I think you can. If you've been looking at my Twitter, then you can safely say that I'm one of the every gun law is unconstitutional and therefore an infringement guy, right?
Although I don't understand why you would think that, but yeah,
because once we have a huge government right now, and it's kind of getting out of hand with how much stupid shit they're getting involved in. Like, I was reading and watching a video talking about it, how back in the 80s, there was, like, this one video going around gun shows, and they were talking about bump fire, but it wasn't, like, just holding a rifle and then holding your hand and just letting it kind of.
Yeah, they're talking about ways you can manufacture your own pump fire. I understand.
Yeah, and then the ATF decided, hey, this guy over here who said you could actually do it with a shoelace and demonstrated that, that's a machine gun. Like, okay, could you please fuck off?
And well, I think they said modifying it with a shoelace such that you could just hold down the trigger and make it a machine gun was a machine gun. Like you, right. If you could modify your rifle such that you holding down the trigger basically turns it into a bump stock, it basically makes it a machine gun. And I don't see what's inaccurate about that. If you hold the trigger, it continues to fire.
It feels like control. And I know facts don't care about feelings, Ben Shapiro, all that shit. It seems like they're trying to pen us in a way. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, backs against the wall. Oh, hey, I'm a paranoid person. There's a lot of people who are. And I see an organization like the ATF, and I did some light research, and they were talking about, like, Waco, and it's like, okay, the Branch Davidian, yeah. No one's going to defend what exactly they were doing as far as being a cult or whatever the hell. But the ATF didn't have to do what they did. 70 people or so didn't have to die the way they did because the ATF was like, we hear they have some things in there. Like, okay, call the fucking sheriff.
What is the sheriff going to do? These people.
He could talk to him.
The ATF could talk to him. These people shot an agent. You think the sheriff never kills anybody?
I'm sure the sheriff kills people, but I'm trusting the person on the local level more so than some guy who sits in an office completely far away from this shit.
Okay. I think the situation that happened, bro, happened the way it did because these people shot an agent.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it matters that, you know, if somebody local came to talk to him instead, I don't think that would make much of a difference. These people were part of a militia movement, and I don't want to say sovereign citizens. They were part of some militia movement that they were fine with the idea of using violence against the government. I don't think the sheriff would have been seen as some sort of distinction from the government in that sense.
Maybe so. It's just, I don't know. When we have an organization like the ATF that will throw you in jail for, I don't know exactly what the amount of time you were tossed in jail for violating the NFA by, like, and do you know what the NFA is?
Yeah, the National Firearms Act. I know what it is.
Do you know some, like, part of the stipulations and stuff like that? Like,
yeah, that's what established the NICS background check system. Okay. I believe put a licensing requirements on fully automatic weapons and certain other things.
Do you know about the, like, barrel length on it?
No, I'm
okay.
Don't know.
So they legally define that if, for instance, just a rifle is, if the barrel is less than 16 inches, it is no longer a rifle. It's considered a short barrel rifle, and it doesn't even have to be automatic. It doesn't have to be a machine gun. But if for some reason, we'll just assume it's an accident. But if for some reason a barrel on one of my rifles is cut down and it's just like barely a little bit of an inch off, yeah, your boy is going to fucking jail for, don't even know how long. It seems it's arbitrary. And then you have all kinds of weird loopholes and stuff, and it's insane. I am underprepared for this, dear God.
I don't think I'd say it's arbitrary. It serves the purpose of making sure that rifles and certain kinds of heavier weapons can't be concealed.
Okay. I've never known anybody to try and conceal an AR pistol.
So you have known them to try to conceal shotguns, though, right? That's the reason people saw off barrels with shotguns.
Okay, a shotgun, sure, but there's too much going on with an AR-15. Unless you're, like, in heavy-ass rain gear, I could see it, but how often does that happen is what I'm asking.
Was it even an AR that they sold them? What did they sell them?
Sell who?
The Branch Davidians.
It could have been. There were quite a few different things in that time. I know that
they sold them M16s. They sold them the parts to modify an AR-15 into an M16.
They like an auto sear.
The ATF obtained a search warrant on suspicion that the Davidians were modifying guns to have illegal automatic fire. Former Branch Davidian Mark Bureau claimed that the Koresh had M16 lower receiver parts. combining M16 trigger components with a modified AR-15 lower receiver, which, according to ATF regulations, constructive possession of an unregistered machine gun regulated in the Firearm Owner Protection Act of 1986. Was that what they sold them? The ATF sold them weapons, didn't they?
The ATF sold the Branch Davidian weapons?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Am I misremembering this? I know they had a warrant to go there, and the Branch Davidian shot the ATF, which I don't understand. Like, what are you... I mean, should the federal government just not enforce laws?
I think they should enforce laws, but there are laws that keep people... There are laws that are obviously meant to be like, hey, don't rape someone. We will throw you in jail, and you will probably die. Hey, don't murder someone. That's fucked up. But when your law is something like, hey, you can't have this certain rifle because it's scary for some reason, even though it's not nearly as deadly as, I don't know, say a .30-06, for instance.
Dude, they have the stuff to make a fully automatic machine gun.
And?
I think it transcends the argument transcends from it's scary, it's dangerous. And the Branch Davidians demonstrated it was dangerous when they shot at the ATF.
Okay. All guns are dangerous. They are inherently so, though. So I don't see...
Slipping in the bathroom is dangerous. There's a lot of danger. We're talking in degrees of danger. Certainly a machine gun is more dangerous than a semi-automatic. Elsewise, they wouldn't send soldiers into war with machine guns.
Okay.
They send them there because that is a deadly, dangerous weapon. Because it's effective at mass carnage, mass destruction.
Well, they don't. The thing is that the military doesn't always use them in fully automatic, though. Fully automatic is mostly just there as like a suppressive fire measure than anything else. Because when you go, like, from all the people I've talked to and the stuff I've seen, when you're in basic training, yeah, you're told this is the fun button. Don't use it all the time. It's not good for you, and it's gonna really be a pain in the ass to get figured out and shit.
Okay, wait. Okay, so do you think people should be able to buy machine guns?
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't matter what the ATF was there for. You don't agree with having an ATF in the place, right?
I don't agree. No, I don't agree with the ATF because I don't agree with a lot of the shit they've done.
Okay, so I don't know why we're arguing this then. You're fine with the Branch Davidians having machine guns.
I'm fine with the average American having machine guns as long as they're not dangerous and they're...
You came out against the Branch... Dude, the Branch Davidians shot the ATF. You came out on the side of the Branch Davidians on this.
Hey, why were the ATF... What?
Because they're tasked with enforcing laws.
And are those laws necessary?
Congress decided they were.
So? Congress... I'm just saying, man.
So then vote in a new Congress to repeal it. All they do, all Ryan. The ATF does is exist to enforce laws that Congress mandates they enforce.
Okay.
Congress passed a law that said you can't have a machine gun. ATF enforced that. The Branch Davidians, instead of just becoming a lobby group and perhaps lobbying Congress to repeal those laws, shot the ATF. I don't sympathize with the Branch Davidians. They shot cops.
I don't like the precedent it set because I'm thinking to myself, okay, the feds, the ATF probably is going to do some stupid shit again.
Do you really want to live in a world where you could just shoot at federal agents because of laws you don't like?
Not necessarily. I just want to live in a world where I can own whatever I want and people aren't going to try and take my shit. Whether they think it looks scarier, they're suddenly more effective at killing people.
Okay, should people be allowed to own rocket launchers too?
I've heard from the philosophy I've seen, because I'm trying to operate under like the non-aggression principle kind of thing. You know what I mean? And you can own an automatic weapon and it never hurts anybody else if you're of sound mind.
You could own a nuclear weapon and it never hurts anybody else if you don't use it.
Oh, God.
Well, do you disagree with this argument?
I agree with it, but the average person's not going to be able to buy a nuclear weapon.
Why would they try to buy a machine gun if they weren't going to use it?
Because they just want to have it on hand in case shit gets weird. I don't know. Why do you have a fire extinguisher? Because
To put out fires, because there's a very real possibility that fires could happen and I want to put them out. I can't fathom why I would have a machine gun unless it was to shoot a lot of people.
Maybe you have a lot of people trying to break into your house. I'm
like
just saying
20, like how many people, how many are we talking?
I don't care.
Like,
I don't care if it's one person or a whole platoon's worth. The second someone comes through the door and they're like, give me all your shit. No, I want the odds as in favor and as fucked up in for them as possible.
This doesn't seem realistic. Okay, so because some people invade your house, you should be able to have machine guns. Does this argument apply to rocket launchers?
Not really, because that would just kill me, too.
Well, no, just shoot them outside.
That's probably still get quite a bit of back
blast. Okay, so we're okay with banning rocket launchers then, right? The in case shit gets weird argument doesn't apply to rocket launchers?
Hmm. I don't know how to go with that one.
It's your argument. You said people should be allowed to have machine guns in case shit gets weird. I'm asking, does this same logic apply to rocket launchers?
As long as it's not hurting anybody, I don't really give a shit.
Then why not heavier weapons? Should people be allowed to have bombs?
What kind of bombs?
Any kind of bomb. Should people be allowed to have pipe bombs?
As long as you're being safe.
Okay. Well, I'm extremist when it comes
to... Any last points you guys wanted to bring up?
There's nothing I can respond to here. If your fundamental axiom is that every gun law is bad, the ATF is bad, and we should be allowed to have anything we ever want, it doesn't seem like you're living in a real world that is shaped by the gun violence we experience every year. We don't even have these guns, and we still experience tremendous amounts of gun violence every year. Well, I think what I said in my opening was that one gun self-defense use you have tremendously more crime. You have... 4 accidental shootings, 7 homicides, 11 suicides, right? These aren't weapons being used for self-defense. These are weapons being used for mass carnage.
Okay.
I just can't grab. And these are weapons that are not machine guns. These are not rocket launchers. These are weapons that, like every other American probably buys, they buy it for some home defense use, but they end up being used or twisted in some other way.
Okay.
Now, I'm not arguing for banning every gun. I like guns. I have guns. Guns are fun. I sympathize with the argument. That being said, I don't live in this fantasy where we can just let every Tom, Dick, and Harry walk down the street with a machine gun, because I understand that in the real world, people use that to terrorize people.
Right. If it helps anything, I kind of look at the guys who are walking to Walmart with an AR-15. I'm like, okay, simmer down, bro. But that's just my own personal thing, because I'm like, all right, easy.
You agree with those people, though.
I agree with it. Doesn't mean I would do it myself as a thing.
Okay, should people be allowed to openly carry rifles?
Yes, if they want to, yes.
And should they be allowed to openly carry handguns?
Sure.
Okay. I don't understand why you'd openly carry these weapons unless you were trying to terrify people.
Because I'm not trying to terrify people. I'm just making sure it's, like, there, I guess. I don't know.
You're making sure it's there? You don't know that your gun's there?
If something were to happen and I know it's there and I can just put my hand on my hip, be like, oh yeah, that's there. Good.
You can do that with concealed carry too.
No. And I would conceal carry.
I don't have a problem with concealed carry. I don't understand why people open carry except to terrify people. Why would you carry a gun in public like that? Like, you have to know that if you're walking around with a gun and people are seeing your gun, they're terrified. They don't know what you're going to do, because we live in a culture where people.
Hold on. Why would you be terrified?
Because we live in a culture and in a world where people take videos of themselves shooting people and upload it to the internet. But this is the world we see, where people are openly carrying guns. They're using it to massacre people.
Do you think the random guy who's buying groceries at the store with a 9mm on their side is going to just randomly break out a phone and be like, hey, bang?
Openly carried?
Yeah.
I have no way of knowing.
Okay.
In much the same way, I have no way of knowing if the Christchurch shooter, as he walks into the mosque, intends on shooting anybody until he does it. You don't know. Okay. You just see a guy with a weapon, and you have to assume, right? Why is he carrying this weapon openly? If you have a 9mm, you can carry on your hip. Why not carry it concealed?
Maybe they don't like to have it out of the way, and they like to have it just right there. Is my guess from what?
Do you think people have a right to? Do you think people have a right to security?
Yeah.
Do you think part of this right to security means a right, a protection from other people, like perhaps threatening them with firearms?
Are you okay? If it's just sitting on your hip and you're not doing anything with it, how are you threatened though?
Okay, firstly, it's not just handguns being used on people's hips. It's rifles too, and you know it, right? These Walmart guys aren't just walking into Walmarts with just pistols.
Right. But if they're not, if it's just slung over their back and they're not, like, being belligerent, how are you threatened?
Because they can easily sling it to their front. I'm threatened by the fact that they have a weapon in public in a place that doesn't make sense to have a weapon.
Why?
Why? Because people don't tend to go shopping with AR-15s. Because I'm in a culture and a context where somebody carrying an AR-15 into a grocery store is weird. And the only reason somebody would do it normally is to shoot people.
Or maybe they're seeing how many shootings there are from other people and they're thinking to myself, yeah, I'm strapping down because I don't trust people at this
point. Okay, so, okay, then if you buy that, then what problem did you have with all those people carrying those AR-15s into Walmarts?
Nothing. Just for me personally, I would be like, eh, not
why,
what I'm, not,
why wouldn't you do
not
it?
Not what I would do.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Because I just don't want to.
Would you conceal carry into Walmart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay. I wouldn't now because, sorry, screen just went dark for a second. I wouldn't conceal carry into Walmart now just because I'm pretty sure they've just turned all their stores into gun-free zones. So, no, but I wouldn't carry a rifle over my back in a Walmart just because knowing me, it would probably just be annoying as fuck to deal with.
I don't think you're being honest if you think that people carrying weapons in public that way isn't to inspire fear or that it doesn't inspire fear. It does. And you know it does. That's why it's controversial.
I think it inspires fear in the people who might try start shooting at other people. But I don't
think you think all those people who had an issue with the guy walking into the Walmart with the AR-15 thought you think they were just going to start shooting people? That's why they had an issue with it. They thought, damn, that guy showed up with the AR-15 now. Guess we can't shoot people. Like, you're not being honest if that's what you think.
Sorry, are we talking about just a citizen doing this whose intent is not to shoot people, right? Not the guy who actually does.
Listen, we're a week removed from a shooting in a Walmart in El Paso, right? Uh-huh. If you see a guy walking around with an AR-15 in a Walmart, it's not unreasonable to assume that this person is there to shoot people.
Okay.
It is not unreasonable to have a fear of that. You don't have to have a fear of that.
But are they shooting people?
No.
Okay.
They're all law-abiding citizens.
Is the rifle anywhere at the ready to where they will shoot people?
It's pretty damn close. It's a lot closer than if they just left the AR-15 at home.
What's pretty damn close, though? Are we talking
their body is pretty damn close.
Okay, well, for me, pretty damn close is like, hey, this guy has his hand on the grip. He's probably disengaging to safety.
It has to get to that point before you think people can be scared?
No, I'm saying it has to get to that point before it's a problem and you should be worried and seeking cover.
I don't want it to get to that point.
If it gets to
that point, it's already way too soon, dude. Like, this is a point that should be stopped, like, well miles ahead. One way to do it would be to put a ban on people open carrying rifles in public.
Okay.
I think that brings us to a really good question to end on. Okay, since LSP went first, Mr. Sutherland, what is your solution to curb gun violence in America regarding the gun control? What is your solution?
Stop making laws that will only stop the law abiding is what I would say.
Okay. LSP, what would be your solution?
So everybody's law abiding until they're not. Everybody obeys by the law until they break it. My ideal solution? Ban on the manufacture of AR-15s, expand the criminal background check system, which includes closing loopholes, and a federal waiting system so that you can stop and curb impulsive acts of violence. I think those were pretty common sense solutions that most people should be able to get behind, save for maybe the AR-15. I think if I wanted to go more extreme, though, I'd probably say federal registration for all firearms. But I know that would be opposed by everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oreo, did you have any questions for either of them?
Oh, no. Your question was actually my question. That's funny.
Okay.
Maybe you guys should coordinate before you ask the questions, Justin.
I should have. If I could whisper to him, I would.
You just click his name and then DM him, dude.
Well, yeah, but then everyone would see it on the video.
Just peek over, just like
sneaky. Yeah, y'all can see me. They can't.
Wherever he's at, just like, hey, what's your question? And somehow carries to wherever the hell Oreo's at.
Yeah. All right, y'all. That's a little over an hour with all the edits. So, all right. Thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to us. It was very, very civil. You did not hear a lot of me or Oreo during that debate because these two did not need a whole lot of moderation. So I have put their links to their Twitter handles and their YouTube channels where that applies in the description. Yeah, you see their Twitter handle on screen right now if you're watching this on YouTube. So, Oreo, I'll let you sign us off.
All right. Thank you guys so much for watching episode 9 of the Debaterios podcast. Once again, I have been one of your co-hosts, Oreo.
I have been your other host, Justin. We give a lot of thanks to our two guests today, Liberal Sanity Project and Mr. Sutherland. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Debaterios podcast.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.